And thank you, Sue Ellen. Take your Bible this evening to the second chapter of Philippians, a prison epistle, a book of joy. That tells us that joy isn't based on outward circumstances, amen, or Paul wouldn't have been too joyous. Bible scholars have said probably this is the greatest Christological passage in all the Bible. Philippians chapter 2 will begin at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you have a desire, by the way, to have the mind of Christ? Well, before you answer that, let's read on. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. The title of my message tonight is The Name That Is Above Every Name. Years ago, I read a book printed by The Sword, a message that intrigued me. A story told by Dr. Clinton Howard, who had served 5 years as chairman of the World Peace Commission in the early 20s. If your history is correct, you remember we had the World War I, and we, with Woodrow Wilson, had the League of Nations. We're supposed to be the war that end all wars. We weren't too successful at that, but they were still trying to do that under Harding's administration. Dr. Howard tells the story during one of the conferences that he observed a man. He was pretty well stuck out in the crowd, had one of those turbans on his head. He later found out he was a Mohammed nobleman from India. And he noticed at the beginning of each of their conferences that the man would sit in silence, pushing beads around his neck. We're kind of familiar with Catholics and the rosary. And while he was doing that, his lips would move in an inaudible speech. Dr. Howard's curiosity finally got the best of him. He went up to the man, and he said to him, "What is that string around your neck?" "No," the man replied, "that is a golden cord that binds my soul to Allah." "Well, what about the beads?" "These are not beads," he said. "They're gems of glory. They're jewels of joy. They're pearls of paradise. Each one of them," he said, "there are 99 in all, represent the beautiful name of Allah, the God of the Quran, the holy book of my religion. And I'm worshiping him by calling upon him by his 99 beautiful names." Then he looked up to Dr. Howard. Dr. Howard was a Christian, grew up in a Christian home, sang the songs of Zion, daily read his Bible and prayed. And the Muslim said to him, "I challenge you as a Christian to match my rosary." Dr. Clinton bowed his head and said, "And I could not." Dr. Clinton went back home that day embarrassed, as probably you and I might, determined to build a Christian rosary, if there's such a thing. John 5:39, that's where he began. Amen. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Our text indicates tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that the name of Jesus is above every name, according to the scriptures we hold in our hand. The name of Jesus is the theme of the whole Bible. He is the Shiloh in Genesis, the I Am in Exodus, the star and scepter in Numbers, the rock in Deuteronomy, the captain of the Lord's host in Joshua, the redeemer in Job. In the Psalms, he is David's Lord and shepherd, strength and song. He is Solomon's beloved, the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. In Isaiah, he is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the Lord, our righteous. In Daniel, the Messiah. In Zechariah, the branch. In Haggai, the desire of all nations. In Malachi, the messenger of the covenant and the son of righteousness. In the Gospels, he is the advocate, Savior, dayspring, governor, horn of salvation, the resurrection and the life, son of the blessed, son of the highest, the word of life, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, and Father. And the Acts of the Apostles, he is the Holy One and the Prince of Life. In the Epistles, he is the blessed and only potentate, the chief cornerstone, the head of the church, the shepherd of our souls. In the letter to the Hebrews, he is the apostle of our profession, the author and finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation, the great high priest and heir of all things. In the Revelation, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the creation of God, faithful witness, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Lord God Almighty, the morning star, the Prince of the kings of the earth, the root of David, the Word of God, and the Amen. Our text says it's a name that is above every name. A name that is above the Archangel Gabriel, who made the announcement of the birth of the Savior. A name above the Archangel Michael, who cast the red dragon. A name above the seven angels in the book of Revelation. A name above the 12 angels that stand before the 12 gates of the holy city. Hebrews 1, 4 and 8 talks about God and says, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, who maketh his angels spirits, these ministers a flame of fire. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of the kingdoms. Let all the angels of God worship him. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. A name above every name. His name is above every name when it comes to prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. I know there's a move on asking people not to pray in Jesus' name. Then we may as well not pray, amen? Because we're going to pray in Jesus' name. They've asked me once. Somehow they ran on my name once to go down here in Fort Worth. About got lost, but I found it on time, Dr. Barber. And I prayed in Jesus' name. If they'd asked me not to do it, I'd still pray in Jesus' name. Because his name is above every name, amen? Oh, by the way, his name is the only name by which we can get saved, amen? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men by whereby we must be saved. Amen. The name above every name. For the next few minutes, that's my introduction. It's about as long as Dr. Barber's, not quite. I want to focus in on seven names. We'd be here for the rest of eternity to look at all those wonderful names of Christ. But I want to look at seven names. Actually, they're the first seven names given to our Lord. And the interesting thing is, those names came from heaven. You know, when we name our children, parents do it. We have one of these books, 4,000 names, man, all kinds of names there. Or we name them after Bible characters. Or we name them after a relative. My name is Robert Terry. I'm named after my grandfather, Robert, and my dad, Robert. But my middle name's Terry. Where in the world did they get Terry? I was born in 1942. and there was a center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals. He wasn't a good hitter, but he was a great fielder. His name was Terry Moore. That's why I'm named Terry. Now, aren't you impressed with all that trivia? That's how we get names, amen? But I want to tell you, the name above all names, his first seven names were given from God in heaven to us. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 1, please. We'll get back almost to Christmas story, amen? Luke chapter 1, and we'll be between Luke and Matthew for just a few moments, but I want to look at these. Luke chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 26. And by the way, as we're turning there, all seven names speak of Christ's humanity and his divinity and his deity. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Doesn't say above, by the way. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name. Talk to me. Jesus. First rosary on the bead on the Christian rosary is the name of Jesus, given by the angel Gabriel. What about this name of Jesus? It's the best known of his names. It was a common name at the time, a most endearing name. His earthly name, it is, speaks of his humanity. It is said that 700 times in the New Testament, Jesus. 500 times alone in the gospel. The name Jesus means Savior. Matthew 1:21, listen, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, tell me class, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. First name, Jesus. I don't know about you, but Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. It's a name above every name. Amen. Second name and third name, read on, and we'll see them here in a few verses. He shall be great, verse 32, and shall be called, here it is, bead number two, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called, here comes number three, the Son of God. The Son of God. I put those two names together. They speak of his deity. They speak of where he come from. Go to Matthew chapter 16. You remember the passage, but I want to look at that in light of these two names. We get on old Peter sometimes for his impetuousness. But I'm going to tell you, Peter got right with God in 1st and 2nd Peter. You have wonderful doctrinal books. But you'll remember the passage here on the occasion. Chapter 16 of Matthew, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Boy, here's a question we got to answer for eternity, folks. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? By the way, there's another bead, huh? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter recognized who God is. That is two names above every name. What a wonderful answer he gave. And I hope you can give that answer today too, knowing the Lord. Fourth name. We're moving along real well. Hang on. Matthew chapter 1. You're there. Go back to chapter 1. You know it. It's coming. precious name. Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse 23. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. What a statement, ladies and gentlemen. 700 years before, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah got out that prophetic telescope and he looked down through the corridors of time and he made that prophecy, Emmanuel, God with us. Somebody has said Jesus was the heart of God wrapped in human flesh. The poet wrote, he's Emmanuel. Who is this babe lying asleep where cattle feed? Who is this babe that merits not a bed? Yet angel choirs proclaim the glory of his name, and wise men by a star to him are led. He's Emmanuel, the God of all the ages, come in human flesh to die in sinner's stead. Though he was God, yet he was pleased to live on earth with men. But why these swaddling clothes, this cattle stall, and why this manger bed? Who is this weary man sitting down upon a well, too busy with the souls of men to eat? Who is this man that's sleeping in tempest-driven boat until aroused its fury to defeat? He's Emmanuel, the God of all the ages, come in human flesh, salvation to complete. Though he was God, yet it pleased him to live on earth with men. But why no palace fair, no pillow soft? And why these weary feet? Who is this man they're mocking with thorns upon his brow? Who is this one deserves such cruelty? Who is this man suspended on yonder rugged cross, the object of such shame and blasphemy? He's Emmanuel, the God of all the ages, come in human flesh to bleed and die for me. Though he was God, yet he was pleased to live on earth with men. But why these cruel nails, the mocking crowd, and why this rugged tree? He's Emmanuel, the God of all the ages, come in human flesh to bleed and die for me. Though he was God, yet he was pleased to live on earth with me. Amen. Thank God for the blessed name, Emmanuel, a name above every name. Amen. Name number 5, Luke chapter 2. Back to Luke, verses 8 to 11. Luke chapter 2. Remember, these names was given Christ before he was born from heaven. Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 to 11. Familiar verses, but honing in on these wonderful names. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, here it is, a Savior. Fifth name, given from heaven, a name above every name. You remember Jesus witnessing at the well, a woman at the well, and after she got saved, she went out and told about Jesus. In John 4:42, and said unto the woman, the other men that heard about this, they said, now we believe, not because of the saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got a Savior. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad somebody took my place. Somebody said once that when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. What a wonderful name for our Lord. He's Savior. He's Savior. The next name. We've got two more to go. Don't be hitting your watch. Luke chapter 2. We just saw it there because we just read it. Look at the last part of that. A Savior which is, here it is, Christ. Christ. Christ is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew Messiah. He was the anointed one. Grieves me today that the Jews missed him. They looked and looked and looked for him and did not know him. We need to pray for Jews. Reminder of the Civil War story. A southern lady opened her home to some Confederate officers. And they got up the next morning to leave, and one of the officers walked up to her and handed her a gift, thanking her for it. And he went out the door, and she asked the other officer, "Who was that?" By the way, she had pictures of General Lee all around her house. They said, "Madam, that was General Robert E. Lee. Look for him, look for him. Missed him. Can I tell you, Christ, the Messiah, he is here. He has come. He's our Savior. He's the Anointed One." Name number 7. Luke 2 and verse 11. They're all right there in that good old verse. Amen. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They said Paul used the name Lord 200 times in his epistles. We have it in chapter 2, verse 11. And if you look in our text, chapter 2, verse 11 talks about he is Lord. He is Lord. What's that imply? It implies ownership. God owns us. It implies authority. It implies servanthood, deity. We serve the Lord. I like what Hudson Taylor said, folks. He is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. I'll let you determine whether or not he is your Lord. Jesus, Son of the Highest, Son of God, Emmanuel, Savior, Christ, Lord. 7 beautiful names of our Lord and Savior, a name above every name. Well, I kind of left you hanging in the introduction about whatever happened to Mr. Hauer in his investigation. He went back home. He searched the scriptures. He began his Christian rosary. The first bead was Jesus. The last bead was Jesus. Matthew says the book of the generation of Jesus, 7 letters. Matthew, 7 letters. Isaiah, 700 years. Something about that number 7. Amen. And he ended the rosary in Revelation 22, 13. Don't turn there. It says, "I am Alpha 1 and Omega 2, the beginning 3 and the end 4 and the first 5 and last 6. And then in verse 16, I, Jesus." 208 names of the name above every name. First name on earth, last name in heaven, Jesus first and Jesus last. Oh, do you know my Savior? Do you know Jesus by the full name of him? I am not an artist, but I understand what a mosaic is. Mosaic, they take little tiles. I guess they can use other type of stuff. And they take those tiles and they paint them different shades, and when they get them all together, you have a picture. And may I suggest to you, when you take all the names of Jesus and put them up with a mosaic tile, all his names and all the significance of it, we see Jesus. Let me stand to our feet, please. We stand to our feet. Oh, praise of the Lord for his holy name, a name above every name.